Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Thursday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour Big Bang Barbecue. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Oakland to Orlando, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
Are they listening, D.A.? Everything we say, D.A., everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Thanks so much for spending time with us this morning, boys and girls. And I'm here for you. This is ultimately a public service announcement for you. I just want to let you know, if you are waking up with us on the West Coast, or you're heading into work with us on the East Coast or in the Midwest, I am here to tell you something important. It's Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day. So, for your significant other, think about it. I don't know what you should do. You know what you should do. I'm just here to save your ass about it. Psst. Valentine's Day. Okay? We're good? We good? Okay. Coming up this morning on the show, there is one thing we here on the mothership love more than even our significant others. The Alliance of American Football. So, Charlie Ebersole is going to join us coming up at hour number 3, CEO and co-founder of the Alliance. If you are like us and are stuck in a romantic relationship, involvement with spring football, you'll enjoy Charlie Ebersole coming up here on the show in hour number 3. We will tackle whether the Knicks ignored Giannis Antetokounmpo, unlike the rest of the NBA. We'll talk about Matt Kuchar, who ended up screwing his caddy real bad. We'll discuss Kirk Cousins trying to do something nice and even screwing that up. Steve Kerr and his ejection last night, and Odell Beckham trade speculation. All coming up this morning on the show, as always. Those topics or anything else you want to touch on, questions, comments, queries, concerns, at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Also, at some point this morning, I will open up a gift that we got from one of our listeners, where apparently we have present gifts for all of us within this box. So I will unveil this, dig into this coming up this morning on the show. And it should be noted, at this moment, engineers for CBS Sports Radio and Entercom Radio are trying to decipher what they call a reported strange smell that happens only on Saturday mornings at approximately 4 a.m. Eastern time. We will delve into this because we had our pre-production meeting interrupted by one of these engineers about the secret smell. And there's a bunch of speculation and theories that we on the DA show have about what said secret smell might be on Saturday mornings at 4 a.m. Exactly. All right, so let's start with Joe Flacco, because why wouldn't we on Valentine's Day start with Joe Flacco? I've been thinking about this over the last 21 hours, okay? This is why my brain is rotting from the inside, because I have thought about Joe Flacco for 21 hours now. Towards the end of our show in hour number three yesterday, the news came down that Joe Flacco being traded for a mid-round pick to the Denver Broncos comes down. And at that moment, my instantaneous reaction is, I don't mind it. I certainly get it from a Ravens standpoint. They've got Lamar Jackson. They're moving forward with Lamar Jackson. They saw enough last year from Lamar Jackson to entrust him with a full 16-game schedule and to be a starter from week one. And for the Denver Broncos, they've had pretty terrible quarterbacking for the last couple of years, ever since the final year of Peyton Manning, 2015. So for 16, 17, and 18, they've been cycling through absolute trash. And what they view from Joe Flacco is an upgrade, some stability, a former Super Bowl champion, a former Super Bowl MVP taking over the reins of their offense, where they've got a good running back in Philip Lindsay, great pass rushing bookend defensive end slash linebackers, a solid defense, and they feel as though competent quarterbacking can make them competitive. And so at the moment I said, yeah, this works on both sides. They're only giving up a fourth rounder. And what I saw, what I witnessed over the ensuing morning slash afternoon slash night took me back. It took me aback, because it just became crush fest. Flacco's terrible. Elway's a bozo. The Broncos don't know what they're doing. This is a mistake. Flacco's a bum. And I'm sitting here going, wait a second. I don't think so. And I'm not hearing anybody defend this trade, because John Elway's an easy pinata right now at quarterback. And Joe Flacco's always been an easy pinata. And I'm saying, wait, this thing has gotten really skewed here. So I am here to defend Joe Flacco. And I never thought I'd say that, but I am here to defend Joe Flacco, because I believe he just makes an easy punching bag. It is where we begin. It is your cold open.
This is kind of in a sense of always what John Elway's looking to do. He's always looking to stay competitive each and every year. Case Keenum was their number one target in free agency. They didn't even make a play at Kirk Cousins a year ago. And now moving to Joe Flacco looks that they want to keep going towards staying competitive with a defense and some talent that they believe can still keep them in a division that got better with Patrick Mahomes and company. But hopefully, in terms of, he hates to use the word rebuild, and it's something that John Elway likes to avoid. And it looks like he's trying to stay the course until they can find a quarterback for a long-term period.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That's James Palmer, NFL Network reporter based in Denver with close ties to the Broncos organization. I know that John Elway has struck out. I realize he has missed with Baby Brock, Baby Brock, Baby Brock Osweiler, Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch, and now Case Keenum. I understand the track record is bad for John Elway, and it feels like he just keeps swinging. It feels like he just keeps spinning the wheel of quarterback. And so if you have doubts about John Elway's assessment of quarterbacks, totally legit. But I'm here to tell you that I believe that Joe Flacco is better, is an upgrade over Case Keenum. You're only giving up a fourth-round draft pick. Last year, Case Keenum started all 16 games for the Broncos. They went 6-10. He threw 18 touchdowns, 15 INTs, with about 3,800 yards passing. Well, that's pretty much the numbers that Flacco put up 2 years ago when he started the full 16 for the Ravens. But I've seen Joe Flacco in big spots. I've seen Joe Flacco in the playoffs. And Case Keenum, the guy has basically fallen into an NFL career because quarterbacking has been so bad. He wasn't highly touted coming out of college. He had one really good year in Minnesota where everything came together and it was a miraculous season. He's been given up on by the Texans, by the Rams, by the Vikings, and now by the Broncos. He's not a long-term solution. So here's the thing. If you're looking for Joe Flacco, and I'm talking to John Elway and the Broncos, if you're looking for Joe Flacco at 34 years old to be a 3 or 4 year solution, you're barking up the wrong tree. But if you're looking at him to be a 1 year solution, this is where this works. Elway's trying to remain competitive. Flacco is an upgrade over Keenum, at least from a leadership standpoint, which is what Palmer just said they feel they were lacking. And oh, by the way, people say, well, just draft a quarterback, DA. The Jaguars should just draft a quarterback. The Broncos should draft a quarterback. Guys, this is one of the worst quarterback drafts ever. It's not like there's a bunch of guys waiting to become starting quarterbacks this year. Dwayne Haskins is going to end up being a top six pick of the NFL draft only because he's the only guy that maybe, possibly, one day could be a franchise guy. Kyler Murray is 5'9". He's 5'9". We've never had, ever, a starting quarterback in the NFL at 5'9 have success. Ever. So who else? Daniel Jones? You trust Daniel Jones? Drew Lock? You trust Drew Lock? I mean, again, people say, well, just draft a quarterback. There aren't quarterbacks to draft. It'd be one thing if John Elway was going into last year's quarterback draft and saying, eh, you know what? Now we don't need one. We'll just ride with Joe Flacco. But the fact is, Flacco is a significant solution. You're looking for solutions. And I'm going to kill John Elway for trying to be competitive? He's trying to win, unlike other teams that have no plan whatsoever. Again, if you don't trust John Elway's assessment of quarterbacks, I think that's totally fair. If you're here just to bag on Joe Flacco because Joe Flacco isn't dynamic, he's not a great soundbite, he's not exciting, well, I think that now you're just looking for a pinata. I get it. Joe Flacco's boring. He's vanilla. He has that Jay Cutler face thing going on. I get that. That's not exciting for people. But you're looking for solutions. And Joe Flacco's 34 years old, got pushed out of a job because they wanted to draft the next guy, not because Case Keenum took it. Flacco is a solution. Is he a great one? Maybe not. But if John Elway's trying to be competitive in 2019 and says, we'll jump back into the quarterback drafting business in 2020 when there will actually be good quarterbacks out there, hey, that's fine by me. And I just think it's easy now. It's just so easy to trash everything. And look, I trash a lot of stuff. I think it's easy to just trash everything. And yesterday, I was like, there's no balance to this. Everybody in the world thinks this is a mistake. That's ridiculous. I'm here for January Joe.
855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227.
Twitter, DA on CBS. Now, if I told you, what if I told you that Giannis Antetokounmpo started to draw attention? Scouts started to get some buzz about him. And that 29 of the 30 NBA teams flew out to Greece to meet with him. Which franchise would you assume did not? Which franchise of the NBA would you assume just said, no, we're good. We don't need Giannis Antetokounmpo, this raw, unpolished, but physically imposing basketball specimen. Which is the one team you would assume totally screwed up Antetokounmpo? We'll tell you next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You know, you can always watch the show on any device. On your phone, watch the show wherever you are. On your tablet, on your PC, on your laptop at watchda.com. That's available on any device. The digital simulcast every single day at watchda.com. Your phone number is 855-212-4CBS. That's also, ironically, my phone number here at the studio. It's brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com. 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. Sean's in Topeka, listening on 1490 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, D.A. Hey, listen, I just want to say I agree with you completely. Mm-hmm. Joe Flacco went to the playoffs the first 5 years of his career, and he did it with a stout defense, and that is exactly Denver's formula. I think this makes Denver back on the winning side of things and an immediate playoff contender. I'm following you on CBS Sports app, D.A. I love you guys. Bye.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you, bud. Because Joe Flacco has a boring personality, he has always caught flack. He's always caught shade. He's always been an easy punching bag. And there's no doubt the last couple of years they've evened out for the Baltimore Ravens. They're not going to the playoffs every year. They're not going to AFC championship games. They haven't been one of the heavyweights of the AFC like they once were. But let's also remember that before Lamar Jackson took over the reins this year and they made that push at the end of the season, John Harbaugh was going to get the axe. So ownership in Baltimore felt like it was not only Joe Flacco's fault, it was also John Harbaugh's fault that they had plateaued. I understand that Joe Flacco is not Joe Flacco of 7 years ago. And yes, those teams were built on ferocious defenses, and Flacco was able to kind of ride that. And perhaps you would argue that the Broncos defense now is not as good as those Ravens defenses were, that had Ed Reed and Ray Lewis and Terrell Suggs. Perhaps you would say also that Flacco is not as good as he once was. That's all fine. But what I'm saying is, if Joe Flacco had a better reputation, you could totally validate this move by John Elway. But because he has a bad reputation, everybody just crushes it like it's the biggest mistake ever. And I'm not buying it. He might fizzle, but Case Keenum was already a fizzle. And there's no quarterback to draft in this quarterback class. How about this story? Giannis Antetokounmpo, nobody knew was going to ever be this good. The fact that the Bucks took him and he developed into an MVP candidate and developed into one of the best players of the NBA, no one could have seen that one coming. Obviously, everybody had no idea that he could be this good. In that draft alone, he went number 15. This is 2013. He went number 15. Anthony Bennett went number one. Disaster. Out of the league in like 2 years. Cody Zeller went number four to the Bobcats. Brutal.
Get him out.
Ben McLemore went number seven to the Kings.
Get him out.
Terrible. Shabazz Muhammad went the pick before Giannis Antetokounmpo. But when NBA teams were scouting him, it's an interesting story how he ended up on their radars, because he was not getting any buzz as a player in Greece. But at that time, his agent tried to contact all of the NBA teams to come out and check him out, to at least watch film on Giannis. And Giannis was raw, and Giannis was playing in Greece, and Giannis apparently didn't look the part for the NBA scouts. But there was a writer for the website Draft Express, Jonathan Givony, who was intrigued enough to go over there and check them out. So Givony goes over there from Draft Express, gets some film on him personally, posts it on Draft Express, and now suddenly NBA teams go, oh, wait a second. Maybe he's worth scouting. So 29 teams out of the 30 send scouts over to Greece to check him out. And Giannis's agent at the time, now quoted in an upcoming documentary this All-Star Weekend, which will air on TNT, called Finding Giannis, said every day at practice or every day at games, there was an NBA executive or scout there. He said there were executives, GMs, and assistant coaches. He said every team came. Every team. Well, every team but one. Care to venture what that one team that said, yeah, not really interested in this guy, even though the other 29 teams are going over there? That would be your New York Knickerbockers.
You win.
Now, we're not sitting here saying, oh my God, how'd you miss such an easy rising star? Because plenty of teams didn't know he was going to be this good. He went number 15. But 29 basketball teams and front offices decided this guy was interesting enough to go out and scout. And the Knicks said, we're good.
We are the New York Knicks.
Oh, yeah. And Knicks fans are telling me, it's going to turn around. They've got two max slots. It's finally going to turn. Kevin Durant's going to come. Kyrie Irving's going to come. They're going to be contender. Are you serious? Are you serious? This organization is an absolute joke of an organization. They've got the worst owner in the sport who keeps the same bozos in the front office to make the decisions because those bozos play nice with them. How does Steve Mills still have a job? I'd like to know. How does Steve Mills still have a job?
How could it?
He's terrible. He's terrible. Yeah. Kevin Durant's going to walk into that front office. He's going to look around and go, yeah, I'm good. That's my boss? No. That's not going to work for me. 29 NBA teams felt motivated to send at least somebody over to Greece to check out Giannis, except the Knicks, who said, now, I don't see the big deal. What's the big deal on this guy, huh? We're fine. We're good. We got Carmelo. We have one half of a knee tendon from Amari Stoudemire. We're fine. We're totally good. Every year, it's the same story with the Knicks. This is the year they turn it around. This is the first building block. No, it's not. It's not. They're going to be terrible forever until James Dolan sells that thing because it's poisoned and toxic from the inside. You can't change toxic. There's no cleanup crew available. It ain't going to change. Because you know what? Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are going to have better options.
Oh, but somebody needs to win in New York. Oh, you could be a hero in New York. Oh. Madison Square Garden, there's magic.
Shut up. It's a terrible, toxic, poisoned organization. You know what's going to happen? Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are going to look at the Knicks and say, oh boy, the owner stinks and the GM's really bad and they never win here and there's no talent on the roster. And then the Clippers are going to call and say, well, just drop on by here. And the Clippers are going to have a max deal open. And they're going to have an owner that actually has built an empire himself because he's actually smart. He didn't just inherit daddy's fortune like James Dolan, the idiot that he is, paste eater. And they're going to look at the beach and the ocean. And they're going to look at Hollywood. And they're going to look at an owner that actually knows what he's doing. And they're going to look at Jerry West in the front office and go, oh, this is a better option than that disaster with the Knicks. 29 teams sent somebody to go see Giannis, except the Knicks. My God.
Oh.
What a clown show.
Yeah.
Right, Pete Prisco?
Yeah.
When we come back here on the show, this story of Matt Kuchar is unbelievable. It really is. Kuchar wins an event, wins $1.2 million on the PGA Tour. 1.2. How much do you think he paid his caddy? You are going to flip when you hear the number that he paid his caddy. It's amazing. And it's next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
B-M-E-R-P-A. Can you believe it, my friend? Thank you so much for getting me uninvited to this crap.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
40 minutes past the hour on a fine Thursday. It is Valentine's Day, so make sure you make the appropriate plans. Glad you're with us. As always, you can hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227 on Twitter. DA on CBS. This Matt Kuchar story is amazing. Absolutely amazing. Matt Kuchar on the PGA Tour ends up winning the Mayakoba Classic. He gets more than $1.2 million for the win. In this grand golf landscape, there happens to be a handshake agreement, usually, that if you win a tournament, the caddy gets 10% of your winnings. But this situation wasn't as clean, because on this tournament, for this tournament in Mexico, Matt Kuchar's normal caddy didn't make the trip. So he used a club caddy, a guy by the name of David Ortiz. Not that David Ortiz, who's got plenty of time in his hands right now. Another David Ortiz, nicknamed El Toucan, which I love. So apparently El Toucan steps in, is a fill-in caddy for this tournament on the PGA Tour. Kuchar ends up winning $1.2 million. Now, what Kuchar has said is that they had an agreement before the tour started. Kuchar told golf.com he would pay El Toucan $1,000 if he missed the cut, $2,000 if he made the cut, $3,000 if he finished in the top 20, $4,000 with the top 10, and if I win it, an extra grand. So $5,000. So Kuchar ends up winning this thing. And he hands an envelope with $5,000 to El Toucan. But $5,000 is way less than 10%, which most caddies would get, including Kuchar's full-time caddy. Kuchar defended himself by saying, that's a great week of work. It's $5,000. Now, this story comes to light because a former tour player, Tom Gillis, tweeted about it last month. And now it's a major story in the golf world. Did Kuchar screw El Toucan? El Toucan felt like he did, so he reached out to Kuchar's agent, email-wise. And El Toucan apparently was encouraged to email Kuchar's agent from people at the club who had learned of what had happened. Toucan says that the agent of Matt Kuchar said, hey man, a deal is a deal. $5,000 is enough. And then as Kuchar's camp started to feel some heat, they came back to El Toucan and said, okay, you know what? Here's an extra $15K. Total of $20K. And at that point, El Toucan said, no, screw you. Keep your money. So Toucan did look a gift horse in the mouth and didn't take the extra $15K. But ultimately, he has felt totally screwed about this. Let me just give you a little number here. If Kuchar gave El Toucan 10% of his $1.2 million, that's $120,000. It's $120,000. And he offered and gave him $5,000 and then followed up with an extra 15. So if El Toucan was his full-time caddy, he makes $120,000 on the win. By being the fill-in caddy and agreeing to those terms beforehand, he made $5,000, could have made $20,000. And El Toucan says, yeah, we agreed that it was going to be $5,000 or $4,000 if finishing in the top 10 with an extra grand, but on the tour, it's an unspoken rule that there's a bonus if you win. Like this 10% thing is kind of like when you tip 18% or 20% on a bill. Nobody says you got to do it. You don't have to do it, but you're supposed to do it. It's social graces. On the tour, you're supposed to spend 10% or give 10% of your winnings to your caddy. So instead of $120,000, El Toucan made five, which if you do the math, if my math is correct here, if you won a $12,000 bet and you had somebody run the ticket up for you and you offered them, okay, I'm going to give you a little scratch if I win. If you win $12,000, that guy got $50. El Toucan got El Scrudo. El Toucan got the El Shafto. And Mraz, this is a terrible look for Kuchar. Terrible.
No, it's not.
Apparently, Kuchar's a nice guy. This is an absolutely awful look for Kuchar.
I think it's an awful look for El Toucan. Couple things here, T.A. Number one, he agreed to the terms. He knew the terms beforehand.
Yeah, he thought there was going to be a bonus.
Don't think. Don't assume.
The unspoken bonus. He's a fill-in caddy.
And that's my next point. Do you know what regular caddies do for their golfers they work with?
Mm-hmm.
They go out the day before and they walk every slope. They test balls down the slope. They know how every hole plays. Do you think El Toucan is going out there doing that the day before?
I don't know.
Is he sitting in the back of the golf cart smoking some Chiba, hoping to make a couple bucks in tips?
I don't think that's fair at all.
I think it's very fair. I think he's not doing as much as the normal caddy would do. And I also think this is life. Hey, I fill in hosts from time to time on the network. When I fill in, do I get the salary of the full-time host? Absolutely not. I get, you know, whatever the money it is, and I'm glad to do it, and I'm happy to do it. So he shouldn't get what the full-time caddies get. Also, don't run and make this public afterwards. And then when you're given more money, because if you really felt slighted when you were given more money, don't all of a sudden act above it and go, no, you know what, keep your money. Stop it. If you turn out $15,000, you're a fool. And I don't want to hear
pittance.
From you.
It's a pittance.
It doesn't matter. It's a $15,000 pittance.
He's supposed to earn $120,000. $120,000, and he was given $5,000.
But he doesn't do as
five.
Much. But he didn't do as much as
that's
the person.
That's not fair.
It
$5,000.
Is fair. Then don't agree to it. Don't agree to terms that you don't want to do. Because
okay.
I don't want to hit your bellyache.
Wait a second. If a waitress comes up to you at TGI Fridays and gives you unbelievable service, great service, and you have all the stupid quesadillas you could possibly eat.
Potato skins better not be burned.
Potato skins are great. You're throwing down those Bud Light limes like there's no tomorrow. And you say, hey, you know what? I'm not tipping today. I'm just not tipping. I don't feel like tipping. Is that her fault? That's what you're saying. That it's El Toucan's fault because he agreed to this. Well, she agrees to work for tips, but she doesn't mandate that you have to pay tip.
That's apples and oranges.
No, it's not.
Because how do I, if she's a fill-in waitress, like if she was,
yes,
you know, taken off the bar or something like that, and I it's still apples and oranges.
You don't have to pay the tip, but you're supposed to. You're telling me.
But he's still tipped. You're making it seem like I didn't tip.
You dropped the dollar. That's not fair.
Okay, but I may never see her again, and I'm sure he didn't plan on doing it. I personally wouldn't do that, but I think waitresses are a little different. Also, it's a $5,000 tip, not a buck. $5,000.
He's supposed to make $120,000.
I'm telling you right now, if Kucherov, Nikita Kucherov,
Matt Kuchar
here, if he needed me to be his caddy and his regular caddy was out, and he said to me, look, you know, the same deal, but if it's $100, $200, and if he wins the whole thing, $500, I got news for you. I'm tap dance. I'm rooting for that win. I'm taking the 500. I don't know. Maybe I'll go to TGI Fridays, ironically.
Not if you learn that other guys are making 50, 75, 100 grand. You are not. No way.
I might mumble it to my friends. I'm certainly not going public with it. Certainly. Going public with it is his way of trying to get his attention. What, is he going to write a book now?
He didn't start the whole thing going public. That was somebody else that tweeted about it and became public.
But that somebody else only found out because he opened his mouth. I'm sure Kuchar didn't open his mouth.
Well, he's probably asking around, like, hey, is 5 grand? Is this?
But why is he asking around? You got 5 grand. You agreed to a deal. Put it in your pocket. Shut your mouth. Go to Dave and Buster's and play some skee ball.
That's the connection.
I'm just saying, like, why?
Go to Dave and Buster's.
Why ask around? Why?
Because he probably felt like, man, I think I just got screwed here.
But how about, you know, you're going to be part of this professional tournament. Maybe ask around before the tournament. Hey, how much do the caddies usually make for
this
kind
of thing? Well, what's he supposed to say? Kuchar gives him an envelope for $5,000 and he's supposed to say, wait a second, everybody, whistleblowing, I won 100 grand.
No, but he agreed to the 5 grand before he ever won the tournament, is my point.
Again,
he should know the deal before agreeing.
There's a silent agreement that you're supposed to pay the 10% if you win. It's a, just like tipping. It's the
I
same
agree.
Thing. You're supposed to do it.
I agree.
That's what he thought. He thought he was delivering nice potato skins and he was going to get 18%.
But he and Kuchar, now I really want potato skins, give me some dollop of sour cream. He and Kuchar had a spoken agreement that he didn't have to agree to had he done his research beforehand.
Okay, let me just say
that's not smart of him.
You fill in for the DA show, okay? And you've got an agreement with our bosses. Hey, it's a great opportunity. It's really big exposure. The listeners know you. You get a nice demo reel out of it. We're going to pay you $30. And you're like, all right, that seems low, but it is a good opportunity. And okay, I'll say yes. And then you come out of that show and you're like, boy, I only made $30 on that. And you say this to Bilotti, and Bilotti's like, $30? And you're like, yeah, I mean, that's what they offered. And he's like, you agreed to $30? Well, they should at least pay you $250. You're like, oh, well, you know what? It's $30. And now, are you just supposed to go to Dave and Buster's and play skee ball? Or are you starting to go, man, maybe I did get screwed. Maybe I'm going to email the boss to say, hey, I don't think that's the going rate, because Bilotti does some scheduling and he goes, yeah, that's not really the going rate, actually.
I don't email the boss.
You don't?
What I do
is, you just take it, you eat it, and you go play skee ball.
The next time this scenario presents me, then I know going in, hey, last time I did it for this, I'm not doing it for this again.
The next time suddenly that the tour is at your course and you happen to have a PGA caddy that didn't have golfer that didn't have his caddy, like, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
But you're also making the case of $30 a dollar. This is $5,000 we're talking about here.
He should have made 120. Okay, what happens if
$5,000 is a lot of money.
Okay, what happens if they just offer you here at CBS? You'll work for $5,000 for the year. That's it.
For the year's a little different.
Is
this is my full-time job.
You're supposed to make 120 in the thing that you're doing, and you get five. Suddenly you're like, yeah, that's fine, because $5,000 is $5,000.
So that's the only thing he's working all year. He showed up that one weekend, and now he's off the rest
of
the year.
I'm saying that's his rate. That's the rate of what he did.
He agreed to his rate. And let this be a lesson to you guys out there in kiddo land. Know what you're agreeing to.
Kiddo land. What exactly is that?
I'm just saying, some people that are immature and don't know what's coming their way.
Yeah, you're going to lecture on
maturity. Do your research before you take a job on what you should get and what you sign for. And that's it. Don't complain after the fact. Don't bellyache. You accepted the envelope. And also, I don't ever want to hear the bellyaching when you were offered the 15 grand as a quote-unquote, what'd you call it, a pittance, okay? A pittance of 15 grand after the
kittens.
Fact. And that's what you pull? You say, no, now you're too good for the money? Take a lap. Get out of here, L-Toucan.
L-Toucan.
Get out with your beak.
He was supposed to make 120, got five. I'd be heated as well. I would be heated as well. Bilotti, you're always a guy that wants respect. You believe in treating people the right way. You say Luigi doesn't get the same shine that Mario does. Do you think Kuchar screwed L-Toucan?
I think he did, but I also think L-Toucan should have been smarter.
In doing what?
In taking care of his business beforehand.
But again, this is an unspoken thing. Like, caddies don't say, hey, and by the way, if you win, don't we have that deal that I get 10%?
Okay, if it's an unspoken thing,
I think it is.
Then he should move on to the next thing.
I think
and
it's
learn
like tipping.
Next time.
Okay, but what about tipping? Like, do you ever go and you're like, boy, service was good, but not great. I just don't feel like tipping today.
No, I tip.
You got to.
I tip, but it's
the
like
right thing
Sean
to do.
Said, like Sean said, it's not like it's $50. It's five. He's getting $5,000. That's still a pretty decent amount.
$5,000. I'll run laps out. I went to Central Park at a Speedo. I got nothing. I'll run laps out here for $5,000.
Drink that water for $1,000.
No question.
You did drink fish tank water for $1,000 from Boomer Sisson.
Exactly. Exactly. And again, he doesn't do the same job a normal caddy does. Doesn't deserve the same amount.
We don't know that. We don't know.
Oh, I know.
You know. Now
oh,
you know.
I know.
Now you know exactly what L. Toucan did on that. You had no. You haven't watched a PGA Tour event in 17 years.
I see when people tweet about it. The season start?
I have no idea. I guess. I guess that's why we're doing the story. 855-212-4CBS. Who's wrong? Kuchar L. Toucan. 855-212-4CBS. Plus, when we come back, Steve Kerr sending an artificial message last night.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.